Hey, what's up, family? In today's video, we're going to be talking about the six things we miss out on when we do not tap into our creative power. And this video is sparked by my accomplishment and the finishing of my 11th book, The Purpose of Relationships. I just finished this book about a week ago, so I'm excited. And anytime that I get to this place in my life, man, I have to challenge and encourage all those individuals out there that is sitting on their creative power. And so as I was sitting with this book today and the releasing of this book and the launching of this book, I began to really begin to feel the Holy Spirit begin to impress upon me to make sure that I help you guys get into the river of creating. And so we're going to get right into the six things we miss out on by not tapping into our creative power. And before we get into those six things, let's have a couple of definitions and let's really break it down. Kizzy says, I was missing out on a lot. Daya says, this is needed for me. So this is on time. And so let's get into this because I believe this is what thus saith the Lord for all those, everyone under the sound of my voice, because everyone by being image bearers are creatives. And so I want you guys to really listen, get your notes out, and let's dive into the art of creating. Now, the definition of creating is this. Creating is the act of bringing something new into existence through our thoughts, ideas, actions, or expressions. It involves innovation, imagination, and the manifestation of original concepts or designs, whether it's in the form of art, music, writing, problem solving, or any other endeavor. Creating is a fundamental aspect of human expression and contributes to personal growth, innovation, and the advancement of society. So we see the definition of creating is so layered, and it is something that we have to make sure that we immerse ourselves in so that we can begin to find our original self. It says creating is the act, meaning creating requires action. And that's why the enemy doesn't want us to act in creating, because when we create, we end up moving ourselves into dominating. It says creating is the act of bringing something new into existence. I love that. God has something that's never been before seen by anyone that he wants to bring through you. I don't care how many authors out there. I don't care how many musicians out there. I don't care how many chefs out there. I don't care how many biz. I don't care what or how many things out there. There is a new twist through you. It says bringing something new into existence through. I love that. Heaven is waiting for us to bring things through what? Our thoughts, our ideas, our actions, or expressions. I talk in my mindset program about how God wants us to have a manufacturing mindset, a mindset that's able to create at a whim, create on a dime, that's able to take any situation and refine it, taking raw resources, refining the resources, releasing a product that can produce in other people a level of enjoyment, etc. And so when we begin to see that, then we understand that there's a closet or storage facility in heaven with your name on it, metaphorically, of all the things that God has predestined for you to bring through. And when you understand that visually, you'll begin to say, okay, God, what is up there that you want me to bring down here through my thoughts, through my ideas, and my actions and my expressions? So bringing something new, creating is bringing something new into existence through our minds, our soul, our spirit, through our thoughts, ideas, actions, or expression. It involves innovation. That means taking something old, refining it, innovating it, advancing it. It requires or involves imagination. That's why we have to sharpen our minds to be able to imagine at a high level. Imagination is like the highest level of spiritual creativity, because it's allowing our minds to tap into the divine, to tap into another world, to impact the world that we're in. Imagination and the manifestation of original concepts or designs. Since God made us originals, God did not make us copies. The devil wants to make us copies while God has already made us originals. Originals bring out original concepts and designs. And so when we understand that, through the process of creating, we have the opportunity to bring something original through our originality. And also original concepts and designs. So creating is manifesting, it's producing, it's bringing something that wasn't there before and bringing it into a world that will last forever. It says, whether it's in the form of art, music, writing, problem solving, or any other endeavor, creating is a fundamental. I put that intentionally. Creating is a fundamental. That means it is the baseline, basic steps of who we are. That's why it's unfortunate that a lot of people was born into homes that already had poor systems. And since you have a mother or a father or the absence of one and the brokenness of a home, that broken home cannot create the chemistry and the synergy and in regards for a young child to imagine and for a young child to be able to think. And because of the stuck of the in their ways individually within mothers and fathers, they begin to suppress the best in their child. And so you remember when we was kids, we used to think that we could be anything in the world. We used to tie towels around our necks and want to be Superman. We begin to think about all these different imaginations. And then when we brought that, hey, mom, I want to be an artist, or mom, I want to do this, dad, I want to do that. The first thing they said was, that is not going to make a lot of money. Go to college, get a career, play it safe. And so then when your parents in that ecosystem of the home has that ideology and begins to suppress the creativity, then you walk and you're forced to go through a school system that does the same thing. No wonder so many people are unfulfilled past 25. Back in the day, midlife crisis was at 40. Now midlife crisis at 25 now, because many people are going through these different systems, suppressing their originality, suppressing their creativity, that about time they graduate a college or institution that is 20 years behind the innovation of the world today. Now you feel unfulfilled. Now you feel like you lost. And now you got all these degrees, all these different papers, and don't have a job. It's because the devil doesn't want you and I to create. The devil doesn't want us to get to that place where we know ourselves and sharpen our minds creatively. And it says that it's a fundamental aspect. Imagine trying to flow in a level of fruitfulness when but you have yet to be fortified in the fundamentals. Creativity or creating is a fundamental aspect of us, because the first thing that we ever heard about God is that he created. Now let's talk about the satanic strategy once again about that. I wrote, there are two things Satan doesn't want you to experience, and that's finished and fulfillment. I'm gonna get to that after I do this one. I wrote here, the enemy doesn't want us to create, because creativity is a powerful force for positive change and growth. When we create, we tap into our God-given potential and God-given power, and it aligns ourselves with our divine purpose. This threatens the enemy's agenda of darkness and destruction. By stifling creativity, the enemy seeks to keep us stagnant, limited, and disconnected from our true identity and calling. Creating empowers us to manifest God's goodness and beauty in the world, which is a direct threat to the enemy's influence. The enemy wants us to be copies. He wants us to be gray. He doesn't want us to be colorful. He doesn't want us to be beautiful in our own uniqueness. He doesn't want us to stand out in our own uniqueness. So therefore, he is threatened by the creative power that God has given us. And so let's break that down. The enemy doesn't want us to create, because creativity is a powerful force. So you have to understand that creativity is a force. Creativity can shift the world. Creativity can shift your marriage. Creativity can shift your children's ideology and mind and shift them from depression and shift them to a creativity. Like creativity is a powerful force for positive change and growth. When we create, we tap in. This threatens the enemy's agenda of darkness and destruction. By stifling creativity, the enemy seeks to keep us, these three things, stagnant, limited, and disconnected. Right now, do you feel that? Do you feel stifled? Do you feel stagnant? Do you feel limited? Do you feel disconnected? My friend, it's because you have yet to tap into your creativity, tap into your unique purpose, tap into your unique calling. So he stifles that creativity, whether it's through your parental pressure or peer pressure or societal pressures. So let's keep going. Now, here are six things that we miss out on when we do not tap into our creative power. Here are six things that you and I miss out on when we do not tap into our creative power. Now, before I read that, I want to read this, the opportunity to create. We all possess the inherent ability to bring something new into existence. We all have that inherently. When we came into this world, we came with the ability to create. And God has already built in the heavenly storages things predestined for you to create. For instance, before I was born, God already predestined for me to create this book, to create the other 10 books, to create the card game that comes with this, to create the coaching program that comes with this. Like, he already, before I was even thought of and brought out of my mother's womb, that was already in the storage facility for me to create. And there's more, scores more that he wants me to bring out. Therefore, staying in a state of creativity causes me to bring those things in. So we have that, and we possess that inherent ability. Right now, I want you to think about what all could possibly be in your storage facility in heaven. What all could be up there? How many books? How many albums? How many songs? How many businesses? How many franchises? What is all there that God said, I want you to bring here? How many of us are going to stand before God? And God is going to bring us to our storage facility and says, these are all the things that I wanted to bring through you. But because of that person, because of that situation, because of what your mama said or didn't say, or your dad said or didn't say, because of that, you didn't want to create. See, you bear their partial image, but you bear my complete image. See, I look like my dad. I look like my mom. But who I really look like is God. It doesn't matter what your parents says or what your peers say who may look like you. You look more like him. Oh, thank you. My sister, she said she bought a book today. Thank you, my sister. Thank you so much for that support. So we all possess the inherent ability to bring something new into existence. That's powerful. Like, I want you guys to get that you get to bring something new. These concepts, these principles, these things that God had me to sit with for 6 months, man. The card game that came out of the mind, the coaching, like something that's never been done. And the enemy doesn't want you to feel, I got to go back. He doesn't want you to feel the feelings of finished or the feelings of fulfilling. He doesn't want you to feel that because, my friend, those are addictive feelings. I wrote, there are two things Satan doesn't want you to experience, and that is the feelings of finished and the feelings of fulfillment. Why? Why doesn't Satan want you to feel that? Because nothing can happen until something is finished. Salvation could not occur until the Savior died and rose. Until Jesus said it is finished, we couldn't flourish. We couldn't be fruitful. We couldn't have fellowship with the Father until it was finished. What is all locked up because you won't finish? You won't finish. What is held up from you? the experiences, the opportunities that cannot come into your life because that idea is not finished. Do you know the compounding effects and the interconnectedness of completions? That until you complete this, this won't be able to be open and experienced? Could it be that what if this is the book that because I wrote it and I finished it, opens a level of generational wealth that I've never experienced? What if it opens something in me? What if it opens something in you? But if that book didn't get finished, if the other things I didn't finish, then there would be no fruitfulness or no flourishment in the lives of others and in myself. So what is it, my friend, in your life right now that you are not experiencing because you have yet to finish, but you want God to do all the stuff for you, but God is saying, finish the book, finish the album, finish the business, finish it. Because once you finish, then other things can replenish. Now other things can come into your life. Also, he doesn't want you to feel the feelings of fulfillment. After I do my videos, after I write my books, man, after I do something from the obedience of God, there's a level of fulfillment that I feel. And when you feel fulfilled, there's a vitality in you. There's high frequency in you. There's high motivation in you. There's high inspiration. Disease and sickness and bitterness and resentment cannot thrive in a high level vitalized individual's life who is fulfilling their purpose. So the enemy knows that health and wealth and success and peace and joy and love is in the fulfillment of one's God-given purpose. And some things have to finish in order for certain things to be replenished. That's why the devil doesn't want you to feel those feelings, because those feelings are addictive. I'm already thinking about the 12th book. I don't know which one God want me to do, this book on mindset or this book on entrepreneur. Like it's exciting. I like, God, what's the next card game, God? Like, even with this video, I love just riding with God. And my wife didn't even know. And when she watched this video, she's going to be like, I was just with that man in the car. That man was tired. That man was sleepy. Because my friends, putting something out there like this is like putting a baby out. It's tiresome. Publishing, self-publishing a book. And see, I'm responsible for the book cover. I'm responsible for the page numbers. I'm responsible for making sure that the margins are correct. And she saw me in the car, that me being tired and me being like, I question if I could do this video, until God said, Josh, I want you to create. Josh, I want you to do this. And now I'm going to experience some level of fulfillment from your comments, a level of fulfillment from your life. I may be in a grocery store one day. You're going to pull up on me and be like, Coach, because of that video. That's why it's important to finish, because once something finishes, then certain things can be replenished. The enemy doesn't want us to create because, okay, we already said that. Now, here are the six things we miss out on when we don't tap into our creative power. I talked that we all possess the inherent ability to bring something new into existence, whether it's an idea, a work of art, a solution to a problem, or a positive change in our lives and communities. Embracing this opportunity allows us to tap into our creative potential and make a meaningful impact in the world. Now, here are the six things, spelling create, C-R-E-A-T, that we miss out on if we do not create. And I wrote most of this in the positive stance, so please walk. We're going to walk through this together. The first thing that we miss out on is change. Change. When we do not create, we miss out on the opportunity to change our circumstances, to change the level of wealth we have. We miss out on change. We miss out on changing ourselves. The act of creating causes us to change. Those who are creatives, those who create, cannot stay the same, because the creating process changes you into a better creative. That's why the devil uses the fear of failure to keep you from creating, the imposter syndrome from keeping you from creating, because he knows if I can create the mental blockers that will block you from creating, then I can block you from dominating. That's why he doesn't want you to create, because he knows when you dominate, it changes things. When Steph Curry came into the NBA and was dominant for three, it changed the whole league. Some young guy who could have easily said, you know what, I'm not tall enough, I'm not strong enough, whatever, whatever, I'm not going to play the game of basketball. But I played against Steph Curry in high school. I went to Victory Christian Center. He went to Charlotte Christian. I remember when I was a senior and he was in 10th grade, he hit a game winner on us in our gym. So I played against Steph Curry. And at the eye test of Steph Curry, all I knew was when he hit that game-winning three, he used to shoot from the hip. When he made that game-winning three, I saw his mom and dad jumping on the bleachers over here, and he ran on our court. I just thought, hey, that's just a kid whose dad is an NBA player who has the luxury to shoot. But I never would have thought that that young man who hit that game-winning three on us was going to change the whole league. But what if he didn't believe in himself? What if that he didn't believe in his God-given ability? The league will still be the same to this day. So what is it that's waiting for you to create? Because when you don't create, you miss out on change. Now I talk about the positive. Creativity has the power to catalyze transformation, both on a personal level and within society. By innovating and implementing new ideas, we can affect positive change in various spheres, from addressing social issues to improving individual well-being. So creativity has the power to be the catalyst for transformation. Transformation is very essential for us to get to our and tap into our potential. By innovating and implementing new ideas that God has divinely placed in us, we can affect positive change in various areas. I am here to change. I'm here to change the way people do business. I'm here to change the way people do ministry. I'm here to change. I'm here to spark change in the areas that I'm supposed to be in. My friend, let me tell you something. When you have an activating spirit, the spirit of God in you that hovers, that was there, that the same spirit that hovered over the darkness of the world and sparked through the word of the Father to create creativities in you, that you have that same power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead resides in you. Now imagine when that synergy connects and you and the Holy Spirit connect at a high level, how many devils would be in flight? So wherever you are with the Holy Spirit activating creativity, you have the opportunity to change. Listen, no place that you're placed in should be the same. Let me tell you something, my friend. Everywhere I go, it changes. Everywhere I go, it changes. Everywhere you go, it should change. If your job should not be the same. I remember when I was leaving the old school that I used to work at, and I was driving to the school, and I worked there for 4 or 5 years or so. And as I was driving to the school, I called the principal with tears welling in my eyes. I was thinking about Jelani. I was thinking about Noah. I was thinking about this student and that student and how they still have 2 more years and I won't be that BMT for them. But I knew God told me to leave. And then when I pulled up to the school, I pulled up and parked in front of the school. And I didn't briskly walk in there. I took my time because I knew how heavy this conversation would be. So as I ring the doorbell and I go in, the principal already knew what we was going to talk about. And soon as I sat down in my chair, I cried, she cried. The greatest thing that I've ever heard, top 5 things I ever heard from anyone was that this school will feel like the Grand Canyon when you leave. That when I was walking around, the cafeteria workers had tears in their eyes, like because the teachers knew who's going to be our counselor, who's going to walk these halls, and who can I pull into my classroom and talk to. That's what happens. Everywhere I go, everywhere you go, there should be change. And so when you understand that, you miss out on changing a place. You can change your marriage right now. You can change the course and the direction of your children right now. You can change from bankruptcy in business to success at a high level. You can. But you got to tap in with that change agent. The second thing that you and I miss out on when we do not create or tap into our creative power is we miss out on good and lasting relationships. So you see, I'm spelling create, C, change, R, relationships. we miss out. It takes power to sustain a relationship. We're not talking money. We're not talking sex. We're not talking all of those that we're talking about. Immaterial power, patience, long suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, joy, peace, love, those things. And when we do not tap into that creative power, then we cannot create. Do you know you can create a good marriage? You can create, especially if it's created by God, even if it's not by God. The Bible says if one in a household is saved, the whole household has the possibility to being saved. So we miss out on good, lasting relations. Right now, if I don't stay in my creative mode, if I don't create opportunities, if I don't create experiences for my wife, then I'm going to lose my marriage. If I don't create experiences and create opportunities with my daughter, I'm going to miss out on her, or she's going to tap into something I'm going to one day regret. Creativity extends to how we nurture and cultivate relationships with others by infusing our interactions with authenticity, empathy, and innovation. We can build strong, fulfilling connections that withstand the test of time and adversity. You have to put the work in. You have to create that relationship. But when you are not tapped into that creative power, that synergistic power through the Holy Spirit, my friend, your relationships will just wane in the process. For times, let's keep going. E, experiences. We miss out on creating experiences. That's what I love about being a husband and a father. I get to create the experiences. I get to create books, revenue generating things that can create experiences. So right now, last summer when my wife said, I wish we had a beach house like this. That's infused in my mind everywhere I go. God, what can I do as a husband to create that experience where she can go to the beach because she loves the water? She can go to the beach anytime she wants. When I think about, when I tap into with the Spirit of God and I pray over my daughter, aiming to discern what it is that she's called to, I'm inspired by the creative sessions with God. I say, what experiences can I create to ensure that she's a creative herself? Creating experiences is important. Listen to your loved ones. Listen to your spirit man. If you're a single man or a single woman, listen, because you get to tap into a creative power of your singleness that can create marital experiences because you was a good steward of your money, good steward of your time, good steward over your mind. So what experiences are we missing out on, or those around us are missing out on, because we're not tapping into our creative power? Experiences through creative expression, we have the ability to create memorable experiences for ourselves and those around us. Whether it's planning meaningful gatherings, embarking on adventures, or creating art and music, these experiences enrich our lives and leave a lasting impression on others. My friend, I'm creating an experience right now. That's why the anointing is important. That's why consecration is important. The level of your consecration determines the potency of your creativity. The more you remove the clutter and you remove the carnality, the more you consecrate your life, and the more you begin to embrace your set apartness and the holiness of God, and you begin to say, God, I want to be holy. I want to be like you. I want to walk in holiness. I'm going to make sure I break that down. All of us who are in Christ have been made holy. That means we've been set apart. We are no longer bastard children. We are adopted in the kingdom of God. Holiness is the effect of mentally being aware of the holiness of God and the holiness of our separation, which then sparks a level of desire that only the Holy Spirit can spark, of endeavoring to be holy. But right now, man, because I'm tapped into God at a high level and my life is consecrated, you are experiencing the experiences of a man that has experienced God in a great level. And my friend, people can experience you that same way. Imagine consecrating yourself in a level of creativity, tapping in with the creator, what you can create that will be have a lasting impact. I tell my students all the time, I can't wait to when I'm randomly in a grocery store and the stuff that I told you in counseling, the stuff I told you in chapel services, you telling your children's children, that's the power of creating experiences. Not only creating experiences for yourself, creating experience for your spouse and family, but you get to create experience with other people that experience you and your creativity. These experiences enrich our lives and leave a lasting impression on others. A, achievements and accomplishments. How many of us are missing out on achievements? Overcoming those old issues, overcoming those mistakes, like achieving greater levels in personal growth and professional growth, greater achievements, achieving $1 million in a year, $1 million in a month, or achieving impact in nations and in missionary work or in local ministry. Like, what type of achievements or accomplishments are you missing out on because you're not tapped into your creative power? Let's read. Creativity fuels our ability to overcome challenges and achieve our goals. By approaching obstacles with resourcefulness, resilience, and innovation, we can turn setbacks into setups or setbacks into opportunities for growth and accomplishment. My friends, I love the word resourcefulness. We want God to give us resources, but we don't look, we have yet to tap into ourselves as resources. Listen, the more you dig in you, you'll begin to find that you are more resourceful or that you have more precious resources that even Africa can't hold. Imagine if you said, okay, most of us, we're waiting for God to bring the resource in. There you go. Let me make sure my internet, it always does that. I must have put some heat on this message because every time I get to that, the heat of a message, then the Wi-Fi. Can y'all guys, ladies and gentlemen, give me a thumbs up if you guys can hear me? Am I clear? Is my audio good? Now, I'm sitting right here by the router, so I don't understand. But, you know, things like this happens. You know, I don't blame everything on the devil, but and sometimes things are not by coincidence. Good. Okay. Thank you, Blues Journey. I appreciate you. So resourcefulness. We ask God, hey, God, bring these resources in. Or we get mad at God because the resources wasn't there. Or we're upset with God. Okay, God, this is powerful. We become stagnant because either there was no resources in the beginning or there's no resources in the beginning of starting something. For example, some people, they're mad at God or they're stagnant in their creativity because they didn't have the resource of a father there. They didn't have the resources of a good mother or a good father. They didn't have the resources of a rich uncle. They didn't have the resources of a great neighborhood. So they didn't have those resources. But let me tell you something about what happens when you have a lack of resources. A lack of resources create resources in you. That's why I love, I help people understand and reshape their perspective on pain. A painful experience creates a resource. Pain is a resource. You know how? All the pains that I went through in my life are resources that I use to help people succeed. So even though you didn't have that father, this is going over a lot of people's head. This is one of the most powerful points I've probably top 20 points I've ever said in my life. Please understand what I'm saying there by the help of the Holy Ghost. That no matter what resources you didn't have, it created a resource in you. Now, because everybody, the number one universal language of all mankind is pain. When you become resourceful with that pain and you can turn that pain into gain, then you can teach someone else to turn that pain into gain. And so when you begin to beg God, why didn't you have that resource there? God said, because I want it, not that God caused it, but God used it to say, how can I create a resource in her, in him, a pain that yet right now they may not like it, but if they leverage it right, then they can be able to help people live right, look right, do right. Or some people get mad with God and they'd be like, I don't have the resources that I need to start this business. I wish I had the resources to start this ministry. You're the resource. And you have the fullness of the Godhead in you as a resource. So when you understand resourcefulness, then you'll be like, hey, I don't need a lot to achieve. Less is more. You don't need that many friends. You don't need that many outings. You don't need all that. When you understand that you're a resourceful, for time, so we keep going. By approaching obstacles with resourcefulness, resilience, and innovation, we can turn setbacks into setups, turn setbacks to opportunities for growth and accomplishment. Next, T. We said C was change, R was relationships, E was experiences, A was achievements and accomplishments. Now T is treasure. Here is another thing that we miss out on when we do not tap into our creative power. And I put treasure or revenue streams. How much money could you have had by now if you would have created? Procrastination has the power to push your dreams further back. I heard, Eric Thomas, he said, one day of procrastination could push your dream back 6 months. I added to that, one day or multiple days of productivity can bring what was pushed back, pushed quicker or closer. How many people right now could have been in a better situation if they would have created in that situation? Created in that opportunity, that environment. But because we waste time being entertained, listen, my friend, I have yet to watch one full game of March Madness. I've yet to watch the last full sports game I ever seen, from tip off to the shaking of hands, was the first game of Colorado with Deion Sanders. That's the only game. I don't have time to watch people make millions in their purpose if I've yet to make millions in mine. And so how many of us, we've been entertained to death, to the depth of our creativity. We've been emotionally wounded to the depth of our creative ability. And we've missed out on money, and people get mad at God. And that's what's wrong with Christendom. Do you know, back in the Bible days, most people, 95% of the people in the Bible days were entrepreneurs. Think about that. The only two groups of people that were not business owners were soldiers and those who sold themselves into slavery. And slavery back in the Bible days was not like slavery in America. But the people who sold themselves in slavery, they worked to pay off their debt. Soldiers did not. So soldiers and slaves were the only groups of people back in the Bible days who were not entrepreneurial. Why was entrepreneurship deaded for so many decades? Because there's something powerful about ownership. I'm not sitting there saying that everybody is supposed to own a business, but I'm pretty much a guarantee that everybody has a business in them, that if they became an owner and understood what it means to be, to create deep inside them and create something outside them that can then garner revenue streams for them. Because the Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. We were never meant to leave our kids with nothing. How many people under the sound of my voice is going to die leaving their kids with nothing, leaving them with the unnecessary strain of starting over? So you can't afford to procrastinate. You can't afford not to create. Because you may not have came from a wealthy family, but a wealthy family can come from you. And the only way a wealthy family can come from is not through tithing, is not through sitting back and waiting for the doors of heaven to open. It's about tapping into your creativity and putting it into the marketplace so that you can have your place in the place that God wants you to be. Here we go. Creativity can also lead to tangible rewards, such as financial success or the creation of valuable assets. By leveraging our creative talents and entrepreneurial spirit, we can generate revenue streams and build wealth while pursuing our passions. That's what happens. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is the evidence of generational wealth. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Generational wealth. The Bible says Abraham was very rich And you don't have to be evil to be rich. These people just was, they tapped into their creative ability, steward it, get and solve the person's problem in the marketplace and exchange their solutions for finances. I'm going to talk about this in Grayland because I believe there's a business in every person under my voice. And that's why I'm tapping into a holistic success in business and relationships because they correlate. Good relationships, good business. Family business even better. The number one thing that the second greatest thing outside of the Holy Spirit that brings me and my wife together is our family business. And I'm going to talk about that in another video. Creativity can also lead to tangible rewards. How many people right now, show of hands, you want to have more money than what you have right now? Let me see a show of hands. How many people watching me right now who are bold enough to put in the chat that says, hey, coach, I wish I had more money in my pocket right now. How many people can say that right now? I want more money. I want more rivers of revenue coming into my life. How many people? I'm waiting for Lisa Cup. Unstoppable Scott got 8 hands up. Blues Journey got 5 hands up. People put up so many hands, they got the more hands than they put. It's in you right now. All the wealth that you're supposed to have is in you right now. Your resourcefulness will determine the revenue generating potential in your life. It says creativity can also lead to tangible rewards, such as financial success or the creation of valuable assets. By leveraging our creative talent, leverage is important. I'm gonna talk about that in the video about leverage. By leveraging our creative talents and entrepreneurial spirit. So you take a creative talent, which is like for me, I'm going to use me. I use my talent of writing. I use my talent of counseling. I use my talent of empathy. And I leverage it with understanding entrepreneurship, creating a product, creating services that can change people's life for generations. Put those two together. Put it in the marketplace through books, card games, coaching programs that then generates wealth. I got you, Jayla. I'm going to get to you in a minute. By leveraging our creative talents and entrepreneurial spirit, we can generate revenue streams and build wealth while pursuing our path. I got a lot more points to go. I got to keep going. Empowerment and encouragement. We miss out on empowering ourselves and empowering others, encouraging ourselves and encouraging others. It says here, finally, creativity has the power to inspire and uplift others. By sharing our ideas, what I'm doing now, stories and talents, we can empower those around us to embrace their own creativity, pursue their dreams, and overcome obstacles with courage. How many people right now who's watching me can say this video, this message thus far is empowering them or encouraging them? How many people can say that? Now, I'm not saying that. I don't need the praise. I'm just giving you, showing an example. How many people watching me right now can say, hey, coach, this right here is encouraging me. It is empowering me. Your ideas, your stories, your talent infused by the Holy Spirit is empowering me and is encouraging me to embrace my own creativity, pursue my own dreams, and overcome obstacles. How many people right now can say that from experiencing this video, they're experiencing that internal intangible force through the synergistic? Jayla says, here we go. Jayla says, I feel encouraged and I just got here. Jayla says, I ain't watched the whole video, but if all I can get a little morsel of this message that the Holy Spirit is sharing, man, right, Blues Journey says, this is really opening my mind to look inside myself and my gifts that I'm sleeping on. Do you see what is happening? I'm giving you an example of how from Jayla, who just joined, Blues Journey, who's watched, because of me tapping into my creativity, what I'm doing will be nestled in their souls for their whole life. So now you're seeing what you can do. Now you're seeing what you're supposed to do. The top 6 things that we miss out on by not tapping into our creativity. Number 1, change. See, R, relationships, making them lasting and good. 3E, experiences. A, achievements and accomplishments. T, treasure or revenue streams. E, empowerment and encouragement. For those who's watching right now, go ahead and like. Go ahead and share this video so this video can get traction. These types of videos need to go around the world 3 or 4 times. And you guys starting in that partnership of sharing and liking definitely helps this video do for Jayla and Blue's journey to other people. Now, here is the 7 steps. Some of y'all like, dang, coach. we done went through 6 steps twice. And we still got 7 more. You know why? Because in the last days, people don't know how to endure sound doctrine. So I got to teach and train us to be able to endure sound doctrine so that all these videos can have within them everything they need to feed holistically to help another person be able to produce what they can produce, right? So 7 steps. I wrote this down because as I was driving back in the car, my wife didn't know this was going on in my mind. I was tired, but my head got to, you know, when my head got to going like this, I was like, all right, boom, boom. All right, boom. Now, you know, when you in the booth with the Holy Spirit, like when you're in the studio with the Holy Spirit or the stew, the young people say, I don't even know this. But when you're in the studio with, you know what I'm saying? And you just, all right, my spirit's open. What's up? What we got? Holy Ghost, what we doing? And then boom, it hits you with the first C. All right, boom. And then I've been in my mind start saying, okay, if there's one C, do you want me to spell a letter? And now Holy Spirit, like all C's, fam, all C's right here. These 7 steps of all C's. And I was like, all right, bet. First C's creator. And then I said, oh, okay. And then we got to the second C. And I said, oh, boom, boom. Oh, it's connecting. Then the third C. Okay, oh man, now we in something. When you get past 1 and 2 points and you start seeing a third, fourth, fifth point connect to the first point, then you know you in a river. And I said, boom, I can't wait to get home to write this. And so now I got 7 steps to creating that you're gonna always remember. The 7 steps to creating. Well, we just talked about what creating will create for you. So I got these 7 steps. Number 1, creator. I'm going to give you the 7 steps right off the bat. Creator, first C. Second C, creatives. Number 3, creativity. Number 4, create. Number 5, creating. Number 6, created. Number 7, creates. Creator, creatives, creativity, create, creating. Created, creates. And now you're about to see how they correlate. Creator, the first step to becoming an individual that creates and as a creative always, I wrote, acknowledging God as the ultimate creator is foundational to understanding our own creative potential. As beings made in his image, we are called to imitate his creative nature in our lives. So the first step to being a high-level creative, a high-level entrepreneur, a high-level high fulfiller, that you're able to fulfill all your roles at a high level. For instance, my goal for you, just like it's my goal for me, is to be a high fulfiller. You can have it all. You can have it all. You can have a great family, a great relationship with God, a great self-care, self-love system. You can have a great relationship with your children and your wife or husband. You can have a great business making millions of dollars a year. You can have it all. How many people right now, I'm going, y'all, we engaging. How many people can say, I want it all? I want you to type, I want it all. I want it all. I just want to see a couple people and I'm going to get going. I want it all. I want it all, and you can have it all. You really can. But you got to understand what it is required of you to do so. Blue said, I'm helping Coach preach today. She's in the amen corner. Javon is in amen. You can have it all. You can have an amazing relationship with God, amazingly unstoppable. She said, he or she said that I want to star bright out. So we see a lot of people, they want it all, and you can. But you got to tap in. And acknowledging God as our ultimate creator is foundational to understanding our own creative potential. As being made in his image, we are called to imitate his creative nature and life. So the first step is to realize that God's a creator. God is not a person that just doesn't create. He is a creator, and we're supposed to bear that image. And so when we have that imagery in our minds that God is a creator, and that's the first thing that the word of God said about him, that he was number one in the beginning. He is God, and he created. In the beginning, God created. So that's why I love it. Oh man, the first word of the Bible. But what I'm saying is, when you understand that God's creating, you be like, okay, I gotta bear that image everywhere. I gotta tap in with him because he's creator. Number two, once I understand that God is the creator and I'm supposed to bear the image, now I become able to recognize myself as a creative. This is what I do. I create. I create opportunities. I create experiences. I create money. I create wealth. I create love. I create peace. I create joy. I create, I create, I create. And not only do I create, I dominate. Because the Bible told, God gave Adam, he says, I've given you a dominion. Creativity leads to dominating. Recognizing, number two, creators, recognizing ourselves as creatives aligns with our identity as image bearers of God. Embracing this truth, I put that specifically, it's a truth. Embracing this truth keeps our mind sharp and our creativity strong, enable us to generate solutions, opportunity in various aspects of life. So as a creative, that means wherever I go, I see the right thing. I don't see the negative. I see the positive, even if it's a negative. Like your brain, your whole essence is sharp. And it says your mind is sharp. Like God doesn't want no dull minds, because the only thing you can cut through is butter. He wants sharp minds that can cut through challenges, cut through circumstances, count it all joy when they go through various trials, because no, various trials make them last a while and make them versatile. They understand that. And so your mind got to be sharp. Your mind has to see solutions beyond the problem. Like your mind got to be able to see revenue generating ideas in a moment. Like you got to be able to do that. And you got to be at a place where your creativity is strong, that you can season and add season into the situation and add flavor to a moment. You can be that thermostat that when the room is getting hot, you can bring it down and cool things off. And if the room is too cold, the hotness of the Holy Ghost in you can warm the hearts of the coldness of the individual in the room. So you see that we're supposed to be in a state of creating always. Your presence creates, even if you don't know it. I can walk in a room, and some of you all know this from your own experience with yourself, that you can, as soon as you walk in a room, it creates something. Your presence is creative. That's why it's important to have a presence that's creative. And some people's presence create in a negative. Some people, like when you walk in a room, man, people, that's why I don't like going in rooms all the time, bro. I be trying to eat. Man, every time I go out to eat with somebody, my food get cold. Because people gravitate to that presence. And it's not my presence. It's the Holy Spirit's presence. But you know what I'm saying? So recognizing ourselves as creatives aligns with our identity. Oh, man, I'm pastor. I gotta get going. I look at this watch before. I didn't even know it was 10:12. I'm looking at it. I'm saying, I go out. I thought I started at 9. Let me get out of here. Recognizing ourselves as creatives aligns with our identity as image bearers of God. Embrace it. That means you got to embrace. Embracing this truth keeps our mind sharp and our creativity strong, enabling us to generate solutions, generate immediately, and opportunities in various aspects of life. Next, creativity. Create. The creator is our image bearer. Being a creative is our state of mind, and creativity is the power. Now, our inherent superpower, creativity, is the energy that drives the creative process. It involves synergizing with our connection to God, our environment, and the resources and challenges around us to bring forth innovative ideas and solutions. So creativity is a superpower. It's an inherent superpower. So once we understand and we begin to realize God is a creator and we begin to bear the image, then we'll grow into maturity of being a creative. That everywhere we go, we can change the environment. Then we begin to, as we grow into our creativeness, then we'll begin to see that our creativity is a superpower and we employ it often. Our inherent superpower, creativity, is the energy that drives the creative process. It involves synergizing with our connection to God, synergizing. Like, okay, my power connects to your power, synergizing, creating this greater level of power that empowers, that then produces. Also to our environment. Creativity says, I come into this environment, how can I creatively shift it? And the resource, that means looking at creativity as a superpower. It means you can take whatever's in your environment and make something out of it. So many people are waiting for perfect conditions, but there's a quote out there that says, if you wait for perfect conditions to do anything, you won't do anything. The best conditions are imperfect conditions, because when you can get into a room with little resources and create something that changes the world, my friend, you'll be surprised what comes to your life. For time's sake, keep going. And challenges around us to bring forth innovative ideas and solutions. So creativity brings forth. Next, create. Once we know God as a creator and we mature into being mature creatives and we begin to harness our power of creativity and use it for good, synergizing with God, synergizing with our environments, synergizing with our resources, synergizing with our challenges, then we begin to bring forth creativity. Brings forth. Now, create is another stage. We have the creator, and you could be mature as a creative, and you may have the superpower of creativity, but you have to wait till God says create. That's one of the most difficult things for a creative, is waiting for God to say create this. You know how many books that I wanted to write, but God said not now? Some books that I wrote that I was like, man, like I remember my second book, I said, spiritual warfare. You want me to write about the whole armor of God? Who gonna buy that? I've learned as I mature with God is to wait till he say create. Create is the mandate. When I'm not talking about creating in your marriage or creating in real time stuff that you're supposed to create by default. We're talking about things that takes your attention, things that take your focus, things that take your time. You have to be obedient with. Create. God has given us the mandate to create. That's double-sided. God gave us two-sided. God has given us the mandate to create. Create a better marriage. Go out there and create it. I don't got to be on my knees all the time. God, make my marriage better. Go create a good marriage, Josh. Go create a fathered field environment for your children. You create that. So there's certain things that we don't got to wait for God to say create on. He says, go create that. Go make disciples. Go create disciples. Go create opportunities. Go create it. But I'm talking about also another side is some other things, but I'll say like this. God has given us the mandate to create, empowering us to take action, initiate the process of bringing new things to existence. Creating involves stepping out in faith and using our creative abilities to make a tangible impact. Gigi, G-Me, thank you. First time joining your live. Hey, hope you're doing good, my sister. Thank you for joining. So create is a mandate that God, there's two things. There's some things that we got to create every day, no matter what. We don't got to wait on God for that. Then there are certain things we got to wait on God to say create, because there's a timing to it. God had to barren John the Baptist's mother's womb on purpose. Because if he left them into procreating by themselves, John the Baptist would have been 60 and Jesus would have been 30. But God wanted John the Baptist to be at around the same age as Jesus. Therefore, God had to barren his mother's womb so that John the Baptist could come in at the right time. Woo-hoo, that'll teach. So now you got to be able to say, hey, though my singleness may be barren, I'm still blameless. A lot of people, they don't understand how to handle barrenness because they think it's because of their sin. You know how embarrassed John the Baptist's mother was? Do you know how embarrassed she was? The Bible says that when she was with child, she praised God for taking the reproach from man off of her, meaning that she was getting laughed at, meaning that she was getting talked about, meaning that everyone was assuming that she was in sin. So when you go to your mama's house and they assume that you're in sin, that they assume that you're not in a place to win because you don't have a man on your arm, you got to remember certain things have to be barren because how big the blessing that has to come through the womb. So sometimes you got to let God barren you. You got to let God say, yo, you can't produce this right now. Because what's coming down the pipeline is bigger than you. Jesus was bigger than John the Baptist. But John the Baptist made the way straight. And sometimes things have to be barren because of how big the blessing that's coming behind you. Next, creating. So once you get the manner to create, now we get into creating. Centralized, focused on a specific idea for the intent to manifest it into the world to change it. Oh, my bad, Jayla. Thank God. She said, I've never taken notes this fast. Well, thank God for the replay. Creating. This stage represents the active process of bringing something new into existence. As we partner with the creative process, we cultivate qualities such as character, patience, and resilience, which further enhance our creative journey. So now we're creating. Next, created. I got to get to these last two, these last two are so powerful. Created is the final product or outcome of the creative process. It is the created result. It could be a solution, a product, an idea, or any tangible manifestation of our creativity ready to make an impact in the world. I go to my book. That's what sparked this whole message. This book came from spending time with the creator. For those who can't see, the purpose of relationships. This book came because I spent time with the creator and I've matured as a creative. And my creativity was ready at any given moment through the obedience to the Holy Spirit to begin the process. Then when I put my creativity as synergy into this, to what the mandate of God told me to create, then I started creating the book. And man, it took me 5-6 months to create this book, then to create the workbook, then to create the card game, then to create the coaching program. I don't just create books. I create resources. I create resources. So the creating, and now that it's created, it is ready. It is ready to do what it was created to do. That's where I want to get into you. That once you tap into with the creator and you mature as a creative and you synergize with the creativity and then you get the mandate and a release from God to create and then you start creating it, then when it's created, the final product or outcome of the creative process, the creative result. It could be a solution, a product, an idea, or any tangible manifestation of your creativity. Ready. On Amazon, ready on Spotify, ready on the shelves, ready in, I'm talking about all you guys' ideas, ready in as established business, ready for the marketplace. What must be ready in your life? Get ready to ready. Get ready to ready. Get ready to ensure that your whatever's creating you is ready. Ready. And the last part, creates. Everything we create has the potential to produce further outcomes and opportunities. Just as God's creations are self-sustaining and fruitful, our creative endeavors have the capacity to generate revenue, fulfillment, and other positive outcomes in our lives and the lives of others. Let me break this down for you. Everything is made after its kind. A cat can only produce cats. Dogs can only produce dogs. Elephants can only produce elephants. Lions can only produce lions. Hawks can only produce hawks. Humans can only produce humans, right? Everything produces after its kind. An apple tree can never produce oranges. Orange trees can never produce bananas. Banana trees can never produce grapes. It produces of its own kind. Now, God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. We are image bearers of God, and we have a level of likeness of his. Him as the creator created us to create, and what we create is created after its kind, therefore it creates too. God created us to create. What we create naturally creates. It creates of its own self. This book is going to be written one time. The card games was produced one time. That book in you was produced, written one time. That song was written one time. That business was put together one time. That bacon business, whatever it is, was done one time. Once it's done, it creates of its own self. Stagnation is not in the definition of creativity. So what you're creating is going to create for you. That's why the Bible says your gift makes room for you. Joseph didn't know that his dream interpreting gifts was going to create an opportunity for him to be second command of Egypt. What if Joseph got depressed? What if Joseph got discouraged? What if Joseph got sad and said, I'm going to stop interpreting dreams? He wouldn't have created the opportunity to walk into what God had already predestined for Joseph. That's why you must create. That's why you can't procrastinate. That's why you cannot wait to create. Because what you create creates for you. I only got to write this book one time. And this book, soon as Jayla said she purchased it, whoever purchased, soon as they get it, it's going to create something in them. And it's going to create something in someone else. Therefore, all I got to sit back and reap the harvest. Because whatever you create, creates for you. This is one of them top fives. These one of them ones. This message got to go around the world, God. This right here is so powerful. Creates. Everything we create has the potential to produce further outcomes. That created thing that you're supposed to create is going to open doors to further you, to push you further. And opportunities, just as God's creations are self-sustaining and fruitful. So God doesn't want us to be dependent or independent of him. He wants us to be interdependent. There are certain things that we're supposed to do outside of him, but through him. And there are some things that we can't do unless he does. So we see that just like God created us to be self-sufficient beings with free will, what we do and create becomes self-sufficient as well. Our creative endeavors have the capacity to generate revenue. This book is going to make me more money than I have right now. Not that I did it for money, but that's what it does. It's going to say, Josh, I'm going to bring money to you because someone's going to purchase it. Someone's going to get into the coaching program right now. Say, I want to get better in my relationships. I want to learn more about your coaching programs, Josh. Yeah, I love the lives. I love the YouTube, but man, I'm ready to invest in my growth expeditiously and quickly. There's somebody right now buying a car. Just by creating it from the sincerity and genius of my heart, it's going to do its part. This is the most powerful, one of the most powerful things I ever preached in my life, man. To generate revenue, fulfillment, and other positive outcomes in our lives and lives of others. So, what am I trying to say? My friends, create. Tap into the fundamental essence of who you are as an image bearer of God. And when you tap into that, family, oh man, you'll begin to see your life change. You'll begin to see yourself experiencing a life that God has want you to experience. And so, man, I just pray this message was a blessing to you. I think I got a couple of questions in here let me see what God want me to do. But in the meantime, check out my latest book. Let me make sure I upload. I don't even think I have the stuff uploaded. I didn't have time to get my platform ready for what it is that he wanted me to do, because the Holy Spirit was like, yo, you got to get to this word. And I'm going to go ahead and post the graphics so that you can see what we have available. right here. I just uploaded real quick. The left is the book, The Purpose of Relationships. It's a book that talks about the interconnectedness of relationships and how no relationship is good if all relationships are not. And so it talks about relationship with God, talks about relationship with self. It gives you practical, it's a comprehensive guide. It's a toolkit for relationships to help you grow your relationship with God, grow your relationship with yourself. For those who are married and have a family, grow those different areas as well as grow and your relatability with those in your under your influence. So the six steps of relatability, there's six main things that helps you become more relatable. So do you be able to relate? Number one is authenticity. You have to be your authentic self. Number two is respect. You got to respect God, respect self, and respect others. Number three is empathy. You got to be able to put on everyone's shoes and see what it's like to walk in their life so that you can be tender and gentle and understanding. Also, number four is humility, not false humility or swinging into pride. We're talking about genuine humility. Being humble so that you don't find yourself humiliated, losing your family, losing your whatever. Next is effective communication. Communication is very important. This book gives you tools and strategies to better communicate in all your relationships. Communicate with God, communicate yourself, communicate with your spouse, communicate with your children, communicate with those in your influence. Last but not least is adaptability. So this book talks about all relationships. It teaches you the importance of relating. The second book is the workbook. I have 260 pages of worksheets and activities and challenges that will help you put into practice those things that you get from the pages of the first book. That phone right there is my life work, my coaching program. We have two coaching programs that I believe is needed, and it's going to resonate with some, but it's not for everybody, but it's for some of you all that's listening. It's called Relationship Mastery. It's a six-month program, six-plus program, depending on what your needs are. But it's designed for you to better relate into your relationships. It's designed for you to save and sustain your relationships. A lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of people, they're sacrificing and neglecting their relationship. Even LeBron James just said it recently. I'm going to get on screen. LeBron James just said it recently. He said that greatness requires you to sacrifice your loved ones. That is not greatness. Greatness is creating a life where everybody can cohabitate with your level of ambition, right? And so we're going to teach you how to relate in every area relationship-wise. That program starts May 6th, six-month program. And if you're watching this in the middle of that 6 months, you can jump in and kind of flow with us and go from there. Also, check out my Elite Inner Circle mentoring program called Fulfillment Elite. That program is designed for entrepreneurs, high level or entry level, those who are endeavoring to be holistic. I counsel a couple of entrepreneurs now, a few in the last few months, helping them to better understand what it means to have holistic success. Because I say it all the time, your success is depending on how you treat your family. I tell a lot of these entrepreneurial men that God is not going to advance your business. God is not going to advance your ministry until you advance your family. The Bible says he will not hear the prayers of a man if he doesn't honor his wife. These are biblical principles. And I've seen visually and vividly how aligning these entrepreneurs and highly successful people, aligning their lives to God's designs, increases their impact. That last thing on that picture there is my card game called Relate. The first one to spell Relate wins. It's a fun, interactive card game for family and friends to better understand what it means to relate at a high level and to grow our relationships. All these resources are now available. Let me go ahead and send a link for you. Let me see if I can find that link so you can be able to get all of them. It's in the description box right now, but let me go ahead and find it real quick so that you guys can get the copy link address. So for those who joining live, how many people on the live right now say, hey, that resonates with me, coach. I need that. And here's the link now. Oh, that's a long link. Give me one second. Why is that link so long? Give me one second. Let me post the link. So that you'll be able to get those resources there. Also, check out our communities. All that good stuff is available for you. Life Work communities for those who want to work on their lives so their life can work. For those singles, I have a singles group. I have a relationships group. So yeah, check that link out. I think it's, here it is right here, mycoachjosh.com/thepurposeofrelationships. I should have fixed that, make that shorter. But that's the link there. Links in the description box as well. For time's sake and to honor my wife, I'm not going to be able to answer any questions. Please, please save those questions for me. I will be back live tomorrow, Lord willing. So make sure that you push that bell notifications there and make sure that you're able to tap in with me so that you can have your questions already saved in your notes and all that good stuff. But check out those resources. I look forward to serving y'all. This is book number 11. I am so proud of this, this one right here. And so I pray these resources are a blessing to you. The books, the coaching program for those ready to invest in themselves, the card game, man, this is one of those resource packs that I know is going to make a pack with you and impact you at a high level. And I appreciate your generosity in advance, all that good stuff. Have a good night to you. Good night, everyone. And bless to you, Josh and your wife. Thank you so much. Y'all be blessed. I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.